Well, let's read John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, just as a reminder to all of us, to myself, to you, look at verse 17. God sent not his Son into this world to do what? To condemn it. And neither should we. We don't condemn people. And so we're going to lift up and preach the gospel. Amen. Not condemn people. Glory to God. Preach his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're continuing on this subject of the honor of God. And, you know, I would say we were reflecting, Pastor Greg was sharing, Deacon Phyllis was sharing of some of her experiences in the school system. And it just reflects really what's lacking. You know, when I think about it, she talked about, little 5 and 6 year olds with no respect at all. Now, they respect her because really she respects them. And there's that, she respects them, she treats them with respect, and they respect her. And I won't say demands respect, but in a way she does. She carries herself with respect, and they respect her. But she shared some things that I thought was poignant yesterday, because really it kind of is a snapshot of what's going on, or what's lacking in society, in the home, is really a lack of honor and respect. And so when you have that, she was sharing, how when she kind of interacts with parents, so often when we were growing up, if the teacher said something, we were doing it. And I'll tell you, if we didn't do it, we got something else when we got home. Because I know when I was growing up, it got home before I got home. The news got home. And there was some bad news when I got home, right? And so today, if you speak harshly to a child, the parents want to fight with you. Like, who are you talking to my Johnny that way? So what you have is you have parents training children to be disrespectful to authority. So it's starting, it's this, the whole breakdown of the family. The parents are training children to be disrespectful because they're not respectful. They're not respectful. So you have generation after generation not being respectful. And when you even look at this, even in the home, I'll tell you, when I was growing up, we didn't have drama in my home. That's just the way it was. We didn't have drama. We didn't have parents yelling at each other, like bap, 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 and cursing. I never heard a curse word at home. Never. If I even thought about it, I would have had my face rearranged. It's sure enough. Yeah. Or they say, I'm going to put a lump on your head to wash as soap can't remove. that's not abuse, that's just commanding respect. And you learned to respect your parents. You know, if you talked harshly or even your tone of voice, you know, you didn't raise your voice to your parents. Today, children, and just think about how that breakdown is when children learn to be disrespectful to their parents. They're learning how to be disrespectful to their future wife or husband. They're learning that. They can just talk the way they want because mommy and daddy do that. So they learn it. They see it at home. They learn how to be disrespectful to their husband or wife. My parents always spoke well of one another in our presence. Now, they may have had some things going on behind the scenes. We never saw it or heard it. Ever. No fighting in front of us. And so the children, us growing up, we never were exposed to it. So we had a healthy home life. But when I hear Deacon Phyllis talk about these young six-year-olds, she was saying at the table yesterday, because in the area where she's in, down in New York City, she said this little six-year-old said to her, "Mrs. Carr," she said, "my daddy told me I'm a gangsta." And so Mrs. Carr said, "Well, I understand that, but what did we say? What did we say? I know you, I'm not going to," she said, "I will never fight or confront the parents with this." But she said, "Well, what did we say? Get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and say, I'm special." And so you try to insert something positive. But what you find out is most of these, a lot of these families in the city, the parents are in gangs, sending their kids to school and telling them, "You're a gangster," at six. So what are they? So the parents have told her, "We respect you, but we have to train our kids to survive on the streets." So school, really, we hear you, but our kids, we're going to train them. You know, I understand, but forget what you're teaching. That's basically what they've told her. That's what we're living in, folks. And we're living in a society where there is no respect. You know what Rodney Dangerfield said? "I just get no respect." And so, you know, when we think about that, he made a whole career. You know, we think it's funny. But why did he make fun of that? Most comedians don't just make jokes about nothing. They make jokes about things that people deal with. And so a lot of people deal with no respect, no honor. And so here you have a society, and this is why when we have a society that where we are right now, don't respect authority, don't respect teachers, don't respect parents, what happens when people get saved and they come into the church, their minds are in transformation stage, right? No respect. They don't honor the pastor. Suck your teeth. I don't agree with you. That's all right. And so what happens is when you don't honor something that God has placed his hand upon, then what happened to Jesus? A prophet is without honor. What? In his own home country or town? And he could do what? No mighty works, save he laid his hands on a few sickly folk. So what happens is, if you have someone come into your church, or there's an office that sits in your church that God has placed his hand upon to help and to bless and to deliver, and you don't receive it, you lightly esteem it, then who's the one that loses out? You. You lose out. You miss out. And so, you know, we've got to, and what I mean is with all of that is that we have to learn, you know, respect and honor just doesn't come, as they say, by just, you know, hearing it. There's got to be hearing and some action, some doing. There has to be a change of our thinking. And how many would agree, no matter how far you grow in faith, we can all grow a little more, even in our perspective or our understanding of honor. Can we all grow? Absolutely. We all can grow and develop in this area of honor. So let's turn for a moment. I want to just touch on this particular scripture, because we have a few scriptures to go through this morning. But let's turn over to Numbers for a moment. Numbers 27. And just going to go through this really quick as kind of a quick review. Numbers 27. And this is where the Lord has instructed Moses to lay his hands upon Joshua in front of the congregation. Before all the congregation. And as you're turning there, I'll read starting in verse 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man, and I wrote in parentheses, not a committee, over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, and the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And this is the part that I wanted to highlight, verse 20. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that what? All the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So you can see here that the Lord charged Moses to put some of his honor upon Joshua. Well, here's a transfer, you could say, of some of his honor, not all, but some of it. And it appears from scripture here, it was necessary for Joshua's leadership. Right? So something that was put upon him, this honor, this glory, you could also say authority, it affected his leadership ability, how he thought, how he spoke, how he was received by the people. So, and you can see here it's in verse 23, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses. So he placed some of his honor upon Joshua. Now let's turn over to 1 Samuel. I want to take a look at this for a moment. And we're just looking at some examples here. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I want us to look at verse 30 to start. Starting at verse 30, it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them," this is what I wanted to highlight, "for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." And so the Lord says, those that honor him, I will honor. Those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. When you look at the word honor, and I read some definitions on last Sunday and also Wednesday, but let me read something. This is from the Strong's Concordance. This is not just a definition out of the dictionary. This would be more of a what I would call a biblical definition from the Hebrew. It says, to be heavy, to be weighty, to be valued, to be honored, to get oneself glory or honor, gain glory, to be abundant, to be rich, to be honorable, to be glorious, to revere, to prize, expensive. So something that's honored is valued. You know, I think about it when you think about this back, and I know Pastor Sarah can remember this, when back in the 80s, we would get on planes and go places, you know, not even think about it, to be at someone's meeting, to hear the word of God, to be in the presence of the Lord. We honored the word of God and hungered for the word of God. And today, you're not seeing that as much. There seems to be people just, ho-hum, you know, I'm tired, I think I'll just sleep in today. So there appears to be a lack of value or honor for God and his things. Is that true? I'm not talking to you all, you're here. I'm talking about the ones that aren't here. You are here. But you understand my point, that when we say the honor of God, if you look this up also, the glory of God is closely connected, even in its definition. When we say honor, that word honor and glory sometimes are used interchangeably. And you can see that. I'll read a few Psalms. Psalms 96:6, it says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Psalm 104, verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O the Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And that word honor, it says, when thou art clothed with honor, it means splendor, majesty, glory. So he's clothed with honor, and that word honor and glory are really similar. They're used interchangeably. So when you honor something, I wrote this down, when you honor something, you are expressing and demonstrating that it's valuable to you. When you honor something, you're expressing, you're not just using words, you're expressing that and demonstrating. You're not just expressing, but you're expressing and demonstrating that it's valuable to you. See, if you honor something, you do something. You take an action, you do something. If you honor someone, you don't just say, I love you. You do something. You express that. I can tell you, if you're married, you don't just say, I love you, and that's the end of it. You do something. You show, you express your love towards that person, don't you? Otherwise, it'd be a little chilly in there, in that home. But what I'm pointing out is that you don't just express it, you demonstrate it. You demonstrate that that thing has value or person has value. Amen. And so the word esteem means, this is just a dictionary, it means to respect. It means respect and affection, the regard in which one is held, worth, or value. So when we esteem something highly, when we honor it, then that means we regard that. So that's why when we receive an offering and we take the time, it's worship, but it's a time that we do what? It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, not just your words. Yes, we do, but the Bible says we're to honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so when we take the time to value that time and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my best, see, and I'm coming today to sow and to bring my offering into the house of the Lord. Or I'm going to go to this meeting and I've already determined that I'm going to give this special offering to this ministry to see it propel and complete the work and assignment that God has given it. God, what does he say? He said, those that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be what? Lightly esteemed. So when we take the time to honor God with our offering, with our time, it says he will honor you. You've got heaven's attention. And so it may not happen in a week or 2 weeks or 5 years, but I'm telling you, honor day is coming to you. If you don't give up and you keep that in your heart, that I'm coming to honor God. And I would say it this way, honor comes, and the things that God decides to bless you with, yes, you know, we know the scripture says, you know, that which you sow, you know, what a man sows, he'll reap. You sow money, you'll reap money. But I'm going to tell you, God knows what we need. So I'm going to tell you right now, I could sow money and a lot of money, but if I need something over here, if there's impending danger, God's going to protect me because I've honored him and his things. And so that's what we have to keep in mind, that God will see to it that he will honor us when needed. Hallelujah. So we honor. So in 1 Samuel, you know, back up a second and just look at, when you look at this particular account, just want to highlight a few things here. And if you look at, starting in verse 12 of that chapter, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That's not too good, is it now? They did what? It says, they knew not the Lord. The New International Version and some of the other translations say they had no regard for the Lord. You know, that tells you something right there, because when you start to read the rest of that account, that's just exactly what it was. They had no regard for the Lord and his ordinances. They had no regard. And that's the point we're making here, that the things that God puts his hand upon, like, for instance, he put his hand upon this country. So for people to lightly esteem this country is not right. People who lightly esteem when you look at it in Romans 13, it says all governments, all authority has been established by God. And so when we lightly esteem and we speak ill of those that God has established, we're lightly esteeming that. We're despising it. You know, despise, when you look at the word despise, if you look it up, it just means to regard as negligible or worthless. And it does say distasteful. You know, when we use the word despise today, amongst most of us today, we would look and say despise means, you know, disgust or something harsh. But you know, despise can just mean, eh, you know, not do anything. You know, you just disregard it, not value it. And in God's eyes, that's being you're despising something. And what does he say? When you despise something, he lightly esteems you. So when you don't consider it of value, see, that's why I say when God put his hand even upon this ministry, see, don't touch it. You may not agree with some things, but don't run your mouth on it, because God raised it up. You heard Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah say for years, we weren't his first choice. And so God raised it up, and God has spoken to us even privately, personally. He said, no matter who comes against this ministry, he said, I raised it up, and this ministry will continue to go forward. It will sow and grow. And so you may not agree with things, but watch how you talk about the ministry, because you're talking against the one who established it. You see, when you lightly esteem, you kind of treat with, eh, you know. And so we just have to be careful. That's the point we're trying to make here. You want to highly regard the things that God has placed his hand upon, his anointing upon, his honor upon. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Let's turn over a minute to 2 Kings. And you know, that goes for whether it's a ministry or a husband and wife or anybody. You know, you may not agree with something or someone, but to dishonor or disrespect is not good. Now, when you get to 2 Kings chapter 4, you can go to verse 8. I'm just going to highlight. Well, yeah, we'll read this. Starting in verse 8, this is the story of the woman at Shunem. And you can see here how she honored the prophet. And you can see here, it says she was a great woman. If you look in the margin, it says someone who had means, so it had some wealth. And it said here she constrained him, or she, you know, persuaded him to stop and eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by continually. Look what they did. They made a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be where he when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And of course, You can read the rest of the story. And of course, he did. He would stop by when he was there, and he would eat and rest. But he asked for the woman, I guess, either in a time of prayer or resting. The Lord spoke to him, and he spoke to his servant Gehazi, and he said, you know, tell her to come see me. What do you need? And so what did she finally say? She said, well, I don't, I'm fine, you know. And he said, what do you need? And I guess his servant said, she hath no child and her husband is old. You see, and you can see the rest of the story where he said, this time next year you'll be with child. But it was because she honored and valued that office. What you honor, God will honor. And so you can see here, I'll give you another account. Cornelius, turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, you know that account? Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. Well, I'll start from the top, verse 1, chapter 10. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God and with all his house, which gave much alms. So it wasn't just that he feared God and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So his prayers and his giving came up before God. And it got God's attention, didn't it? I'm telling you, you give to God, it'll get his attention. Whatever it is. Don't think, don't esteem your giving lightly. God doesn't. He esteems it highly. You ought to come with reverence. You ought to come with whatever you're bringing. You bring that and say, God, I'm honoring you at this time with my giving, with my time. If you're volunteering your time, I'm honoring you, God, with my time. When you do that with your heart, I'm telling you, it gets heaven's attention. Don't take it lightly. Don't disdain it. You know, treat it lightly. That's why I say, yes, we all make up in our own hearts what we want to give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, but a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. And when we give that way and we honor him, honor the Lord, I'm telling you, you get his attention. He will open doors that no man can open. I'm telling you, there's no way you can say, how did you do that? I didn't. How did that door? I didn't. God did. Give him the glory. How did you get all that money? I didn't. How did you get all of that favor? I didn't. It's the favor of God, the honor that he will bestow upon you, a rest upon you, because you honored him. See, and that honor, when we talk about honor, when it says when Moses put a little bit of some of his honor, You can look at that, some of his glory, some of his anointing. You know, you can look at it. Some of God's presence that rested upon Moses. Some of his authority. You know, I'm using words that you can use that are similar to honor, you see. And so when we honor God, he honors us. He brings you into a place of favor and authority and blessing. Isn't it true?
Yes.
I mean, we've all experienced it. Hallelujah. So you can see here, even in the story of Cornelius, I mean, it got God's attention such that what happened? He starts speaking to Peter. And he pulled Peter and said, hey, go over here to Cornelius' house. I want you to say something to him. Boy, how about that, huh? Just because of my prayers and my alms giving, God's going to personally send somebody over to me to speak words from heaven. Boy, isn't that something? Well, that's no different today. It said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So today, I mean, more than ever, we honor him. Honor God. Hallelujah. And when you think about this, when you honor God, you honor his people. You esteem them. And you can see here, I'll read this, Matthew 25:40. It says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So when you honor people, you esteem highly other people, you're doing it to him. As if you're honoring God. And now there's three things, or four things actually, just want to just touch quickly. How do we honor? You know, this would be the what I would call, you know, the how-to part. How you refer to someone is how you honor them. How you refer to someone. You know, when I was growing up, you know, some men would refer to their wives as their old lady. No, she's your wife, she's your helpmeet, she's your queen, she's not your old lady. So you don't honor her. You don't value her because of the way you refer to her. And it's no different, the wives can refer, that's so-and-so, right? How you refer to the husband can be the same thing. You don't refer to him. You don't accord honor to the husband. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. One way we honor is how we prefer one another. So how we refer to one another and prefer one another. Just really, really quick here. Romans 10. And verse 12, I'm sorry, Romans 12, verse 10. Excuse me, I'll get this right here. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Another way we honor is how we defer to one another. So how we refer to one another, how we prefer one another, and also how we defer to one another. What do I mean by that? How we submit to one another. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 13 real quick, Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That's how you what? You defer. For they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So we submit, we defer to one another. That just means to submit or to yield, right? 1 Peter 5:5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So how we submit, how we defer to one another. And the last one is how we confer to one another. In John 12:1, I'll read this, just John 12:1, 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and did what? Anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She conferred upon him this blessing. She blessed him with something. So she honored him. It was very costly, right? So how we refer to someone, how we defer, how we prefer, and how we confer upon someone. Amen. Now, how much time do we have here? We have a few minutes. Let's just turn over to John chapter 12 for a minute. John 12, and we'll pick up again on Wednesday. But one of the things we want to keep in mind is when we honor him, he will honor us. And we despise his things, he will lightly esteem us. John 12, and starting in verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So we can see here, and one of the things that I like in some of the other translations, the message says, the Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. And he said, if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So when we honor him, the Father, when we honor and follow Jesus, we do his work, we count costly and highly his things, his people, his work. It says that we get the Father's attention. And he said he will honor us. Amen. Glory to God. And there's another scripture. I didn't highlight it or refer to it again today. But one of the things let me just read that. It's in the Amplified. Let me get back over there, because it really blessed me. Romans chapter 8. See, when God places his honor upon us, he places some of himself upon us, his honor. In his presence, his honor and majesty, he places some of his very nature upon us. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, it says, moreover, this is in the King James, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he did what? He also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. And let me read this in the Amplified. This really blesses me, this particular translation. It said, and those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And the Amplified says, acquitted, made righteous, putting them in right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, this is what I like, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. So God raised us to a heavenly dignity, conferring upon us his honor and glory. So that's why I say, you know, don't ever let someone speak down and speak to you in such a way that demeans what God has called you and referred to you. You're his child. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I spent some time Wednesday just sharing some things about the word shame. And although, yes, this is what psychologists and psychiatrists say about the word, but if you just look up the word shame in the dictionary, it means to dishonor or to disgrace. And so when we look at that particular word, and when we look at how children are being raised today, children are being disgraced and dishonored. They're not being elevated in their thinking, in who they are. They're not being praised by in their homes. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about just in society in general. That's why we have the issues that we have, because they have a low self-esteem, because that's what's been spoken over them. And so they have a low self-image, a low self-esteem, and that to me is the power of the gospel, because God comes in and says, what? I'm going to, when you receive me, I'm raising you to a heavenly dignity. Just like the prodigal son. He killed the fatted calf and put a robe around him and honored him, forgave him. And so, as we just conclude today, the main thing we want to keep in mind is that those things that God has stamped with his approval, placed his hand upon, he's placed his hand upon you. That's why when it says we are to honor all men, fear God. And so we need to honor one another, speak well of one another, and we may not all be there, but we're growing and we can grow in this particular area. And when we feel like we want to say something, just think about, well, let me see here. I may not agree with them, but my charge from God is to honor all men, to walk in love towards one another. And so when we go, whether it's in church or you're out in society and somebody who's waiting on your table doesn't deliver the food the way you like it, and you want to run your mouth on them, just remember that. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so sometimes we need to just watch what we say and how we say it to someone, and be kind and courteous, because you just never know who you may be speaking to. Right? Praise God. Amen. Well, let's, as we say, we'll pick up again on Wednesday and continue. But I think this is something we have enough. God holds very highly this area of honor. And one of the things that, not going to delve into it today, and I'm not sure if we're going to delve it into these lessons, but I've been meditating on just the whole word honor and glory. See, we just think, oh yeah, honor, because we think about it in worldly ways, don't we? How the world uses the word honor. But God uses it a little differently. He when we talk about placing some honor upon you, we're talking about the very presence of God, His favor, His authority resting upon you. And so, that revelation is expanding inside me, just in that way. And I think we all could expand in that area, just in the area of honor and glory. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think that we'll pick up Wednesday again. Come expecting to receive. You pray, and God will expand your understanding and your knowledge in this area. And we're just highlighting some things as the Lord leads. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for opening our eyes and our hearts in this area, how we can grow in the area of honor, honoring you, honoring your things, honoring what you place your hand upon, people and works. Father, we thank you. And Father, if we've missed it in these areas, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we desire to grow and to mature in this area of honor, because when we honor you and your things, you'll honor us. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.